You know, it's really crazy to think about when we've gone without sports for so long. When the Doug and Wolf Show gets back together on Monday morning, we will have had a four-game series with the Dodgers completed, two Suns games in the bubble, and the first Coyotes playoff game against Nashville. All of that is coming up over the course of the next 4 days. And yet Monday, everybody's off. There's no Coyotes playoffs, there's no Suns game, and there's no D-backs.
Yes.
I don't know how you time that out, that all three teams are in action at the same time, and yet none of them are playing on Monday. But that's what's going on. And Paul Calvisi is on the east side, I'm on the west side, and Wolf Bear and Maloney are all in the Auction Community Studios.
So is that your way of saying you're going to have a four-day work week, Doug? Because really, it's been the summer of the four-day work week for the Doug and Wolf Show. So next week is a prime candidate.
You know, it's interesting. I certainly want to come to work Monday because there's so much there. But maybe Tuesday morning when nothing happened Monday night.
I see.
Yeah, you might be onto something.
When you said everyone was off on Monday, I was like, what? Yeah, what? Wait a minute. If there's a holiday going on?
No,
Labor Day's not here yet.
No holiday, okay, just for some reason everybody's...
That never stopped you before, Wolf. Don't worry about it.
Hey, Paul, knock it off. You know you're the king of taking Monday off.
If you didn't hear it, I think maybe a lot of you missed it. Isaiah Simmons talking to the media yesterday. And, man, you had to get fired up as soon as he said coronavirus is only – it's not adversity for the rest of the nation. It's a major, major problem. But for him and his preparation for football – he's not going to let it affect him.
No, I'm not going to adjust my personal goals just because we're having like a little adversity with this whole pandemic. So it's either I'm going to achieve my goals or I'm not at the end of the day. So I don't feel like I should lower my expectations or my standards for myself just because, you know, there's a few obstacles in the road. So I'm still pushing to do the best I can and make the biggest and best impact that I possibly can for this organization.
I can only imagine the trepidation of the rookies on September 13th, week one, at the 49ers, the NFC champion 49ers, and you've got the whole rookie class that has yet to play in a single NFL game. You can we can bag on the preseason and exhibition games and practice games all we want, but it allows the rookies to get exposure to the NFL game. Now, is the regular season much more physical and faster and more competitive in the preseason? Abso-stinking-lutely, but at least they're able to put their toe in that water. So when guys are on the sideline and the anthem is being played and they're getting ready to go into their first game in week one, even if you're Isaiah Simmons, the Butkus Award winner and highly decorated, I can only imagine the amount of nerves in the Cardinals rookie class, NFL rookies period, this year.
Well, there's no doubt about that, Paulie, right? There's always going to be nerves, and can I play? And you're trying to shake that off, the rust, of course, and preseason. You can say anything you want about preseason. It does help a rookie get acclimated to the NFL game. There's no denying that. And I don't care if a rookie's only getting 10, 12 reps in a game. I don't care. It's going to help him get acclimated to the entire process. Just talking about going out on the field. Actually, going out on the field and warming up, this is the way you do it. This is the way you do it. You know, everyone forgets about that stuff. What makes a player comfortable is repetition, repetition. This is what I do on Monday. This is what I do on Wednesday. This is what I do before a game. And this is what I do all the time before a game. And this is how we get ourselves ready to go out and play a game. You're not going to have any of that. You're going to have to go out there basically. Yeah, you're going to practice it. They'll do that in practice. But it's not going to be anywhere close to actually being the same when they line up in San Francisco, hopefully.
You know, it's interesting you say that because imagine you're on an interstate ramp and you start from zero and now you're merging. And that's what the rookies are doing for their first game. But with that point, Wolf, there is one thing that's an advantage of there's nothing that's happening to a rookie in this coronavirus training camp that breaks their routine because they don't have one yet. They don't know what an NFL training camp is supposed to be like. So boom, here it is.
Right. And that's my point right now, because they really don't know what the process is going to be. What I do love, Isaiah Simmons, I don't know, Paulie, if you heard him, he was really focused on the process It's not like he's got a bunch of goals all set up, right? And I'm going to be the defensive rookie of the year. I'm going to be a Pro Bowler. I'm going to be a guy that is going to get 10 sacks or 10 picks, whatever you want to say. None of that. He was really focused on the process. And I love that because that's right where he ought to be.
It just illustrates that he's sensible and he's rational. He's not coming in like Buster Davis did a decade ago and proclaiming to be the next Ray Lewis.
I forgot about Buster.
And then you put the bust into Buster and you don't even make it out of training camp as a third-round pick. So at least he's smart enough to know that I might be uber-talented, Isaiah Simmons, that I got all the measurables, but this is a whole different league, and I'm going to have to prove myself. And so, yes, when you watch how he goes about meeting the media and what he shares with the media, at least he gives you a sense of confidence that, okay, this kid who has every right to be full of himself and his sure. accolades and his talents, he does have a respect for the NFL game.
Anytime you can slip Buster Davis into the show.
Yeah. Had to do it, Doug.
Do it. Do it. Always good. Coming up next, the Diamondbacks. They need to bounce back. So good time to play the Dodgers and the Astros. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Oh. Are you talking to me? Dave Roberts! Yeah, Dave! Ray, Beck, the Pulse. Ray, Beck, still smirking while wearing the mask. Stay away from the pool, Dave. Yeah.
Dodgers in town tonight, 6:40, first pitch, Diamondbacks home opener, and the Dodgers don't have somebody.
I think it was okay that we changed the subject last night. However, the subject shouldn't have been changed with 95 miles an hour behind someone's head like that. Look, I'm all for, you know, I don't like it, but retribution in baseball is a real thing. It's a hard game played by hard men, and sometimes that stuff has to happen. But Joe Kelly went way too far, in my opinion. You can't throw that hard behind somebody's head and up at that level. That was reckless and that was dangerous. And that's why he got suspended for 8 games. And you get suspended for 8 games, he's appealing, in a 60-game season, that's a pretty mighty big fine.
Yeah, and it's because of the history right there.
Yes, it is.
It's because of the expectation. You can't have open season on the Astros. You can't. We all know it's coming to some degree, but I think right now you got Rob Manfred in Major League Baseball saying, we're not going to sit by and watch this. We're not going to have it.
I wonder if there's any chance the Dodgers are a little – are they ready for tonight? I mean, that's an emotionally charged series to come off of against Houston. You've been waiting for it the entire season, let alone the off season, and now you got that out of the way and you're coming to take on a team that you, I don't care that it was summer camp, you just absolutely annihilated. And the Diamondbacks don't look good right now. If I'm a betting person, I'm looking at the Diamondbacks tonight. But the one problem is, here we go. You want to test Robbie Ray's on the mound tonight.
Yeah.
His 7.36 ERA and his 1.91 whip is on the mound tonight. A man in a contract year who hasn't pitched to what we believe is his talent level in 3 years is on the mound tonight. He was actually a guy at one point in his career, which seems like so long ago, where we were wondering, should you sit Zach Greinke and pitch the Dodger killer Robbie Ray in a playoff game? Okay, that's who Robbie Ray was. Who are we getting tonight? If you want to put a line in the sand, I'm not saying must win, but if you want to put a line in the sand, and I am serious about a fulcrum for the season, do you want to see Robbie Ray get blown up by the Dodgers, lose any mystique and confidence in your number two pitcher, and drop down to a 2-5 record? Or do you want to see a Robbie Ray that takes a hold, gives you actually 6 to 7 innings under 100 pitches, and puts the Diamondbacks in position to finish, the bullpen comes through, and the Diamondbacks score a couple runs?
imagine the difference of how you're going to feel tomorrow morning about the entire season based on tonight.
Man, just listening to you talk about Robbie Ray, would you say Robbie Ray is a talented individual?
100%.
Like, there's no doubt about it, right? And it's so interesting because when you don't have talent based on onions, you approach every game the same way. Why do I know this? Because that's what I did. I approached every game. It didn't matter. It didn't matter if we were playing the Super Bowl champions or the worst team in the league. I knew there were NFL players out of the field, and I knew I was going to get my face blown off if I didn't bring it. I approached every game the exact same way. Heck, I approached every practice the same way. There are guys that have talent. I don't care what sport you're talking about. There are guys that have talent that, you know what, they need a true Goliath for them to focus that talent sometimes. Right now, I'm very interested in this. Anyone who's listened to this broadcast over the last 13 years, you know exactly what I love about athletics and competition. It's the mind game. It's the psyche. It's the battle that is played in the heart and mind of the professional athlete. Robbie Ray and all of that talent, here come the big, bad Los Angeles Dodgers. This will focus all of that talent, and I can't wait to see the results. After all, that's what it's all about.
Especially when you look at it through the point of this is exactly what Matt Hurges has been talking about, of what he expects from the pitchers, what he wants them to accomplish. That's what he has been saying, and yet it applies to directly to Robbie Ray more than any other of the pitchers. Of, you've got great stuff, quit nibbling, quit thinking that you've got to strike everybody out, trust your defense, challenge people in the strike zone with your stuff, and accept the fact you've got great talent. And I don't know if that's not what Robbie Ray does. I don't know if he's become a nibbler. I don't know if he's scared. I don't know if he just can't control it anymore. I don't know why Robbie Ray isn't the same Robbie Ray. But you talk about a put-up-or-shut-up game for the entire future of Robbie Ray. There's a pretty good argument that it could be made tonight because this team needs him to pitch like his talent says he can pitch like.
You know, and of course, I'm looking at other players as well. It's not just Robbie Ray. I'm looking at the David Peraltas, right? I'm looking at Eduardo Escobars, right? And I know he's showing some signs of life. They both are showing some signs of life, but they need to come out of it, right? They need to lead this team right now. And there are guys that have an awful lot of talent. And I look at those guys, and yes, I do believe they're overachievers to some degree, but they have talent. I want to see who steps up. Aren't you interested to see who actually steps up tonight? Mm-hmm. I mean, the Martes have been leading the way for the most part, right? You think about it, Starling and Cattell. They have been leading the ways for the Arizona Diamondbacks in terms of the lineup. But having said all of that, what do you bring against the Dodgers now? Because I do believe, ladies and gentlemen, once again, great players play great in great games. Mm-hmm. And this is a great game.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Maloney?
Okay, usually you ask me for it.
Oh, okay.
How much does Madison Bumgarner's career low velocity matter? A lot. He's dropping off. A little bit, it's not a good sign, or it doesn't matter at all.
No, it matters. It matters because you can tell he's a little sideways with his velo being what it is right now, right? It matters to him, and because it matters to him, it matters to me. Because that is an issue where he's got to learn to pitch differently if, in fact, he is losing a lot of his velocity off his fastball. He's got to learn how to make the adjustments. He's got to learn how to deal with that when he's always been 91. He's always actually was 93 at one point in his career, 94, somewhere in there. Now, all of a sudden, he's below 90. That's a big adjustment mentally for any athlete, any pitcher.
Maloney, was that your question or was that from the website?
Website.
That's a good question. That's a very good question by the website. And I don't remember the last time I said that. I got to tell you, I'm in the little category because I think it's a veteran pitcher who had his entire routine messed up and he had to get ready in 3 weeks. He knows what he needs, and it wasn't that. So I'm a little concerned by it. But those of you that are a lot concerned, you're not crazy. Yeah, he's had back-to-back years where he's not the same guy, and he's good now. And so when your ace is just good, that's a bad sign. And now we have a specific reason why. But I do feel comfortable thinking it'll bounce back.
So 54% say a lot he's dropping off. 36% a little bit. It's not a good sign. And then 10% of the audience says doesn't matter at all.
I love your optimism if you're in the 10%, but I don't know how you have that optimism in a factual way without just saying or after your opinion, go D-backs, yeah. You know.
Well,
I think that's a little rose-colored there.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Doug Lace. More on this as the show unfolds.
It's only got 30 minutes.
I said more on this as the show unfolds.
Does the NBA have a plan in place if they have a similar outbreak from the Marlins? Not that the Marlins are getting in their bubble. You'll hear from the commissioner next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Just saw this tweet from the Phillies beat reporter for The Athletic that the Phillies have canceled all workouts today at Citizens Bank Park after a coach and the home clubhouse staffer tested positive for COVID-19.
Oh, boy.
I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I believe the Phillies have a game today that was canceled and scheduled as a doubleheader tomorrow. I have to cheat and look that up. If I hope nobody minds me. I could be a hair off on that. But the Phillies are the ones that have been involved in the outbreak because that's where the Marlins were when it took place before they were supposed to go back to Miami, and they never did, and they're still in the Philadelphia area. So that's the latest as we keep an eye on the baseball situation.
Can you imagine right now, Doug Lease, if the Miami Marlins cost us baseball?
Listen, that's a very real possibility.
Are you kidding me?
The bubble scenario has worked very well so far for the NBA and very well for the NHL. The bubble works based on human discipline and almost having a somewhat of a security force protecting you from, okay, fine, you can leave. We're not going to stop you from leaving. This isn't a communist state. You can leave. You just can't get back in, you know, once you leave.
You're going to be tested.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a long quarantining after when you leave, especially if it's an excuse. So that's that side. Now, football, I could see football falling on its face if it wasn't for the Marlins. I think there's a chance the Marlins might have saved football because I don't believe at all you could have kept a 10 to 15, 20 to 28-year-old football players away from going out at some point during the week.
Yeah.
And now when you see it smack right in the face that the Marlins might cost us all baseball, I think football might get saved by it. Adam Silver, on the other hand, he was asked specifically about Marlins in the bubble. And no, I don't mean an actual Marlins player getting into the bubble. But how are you looking at the plan that you have if a Marlins type of team-wide outbreak happens, as the NBA actually starts tonight, Suns tomorrow, but tip-off for the resumption of the NBA season is tonight at 3:30. I should say this afternoon at 3:30.
We do, although it's not an exact science because nobody's ever done this before. I think we have plans in place where we might pause, similar to what baseball is doing now, probably if we had any significant spread at all, we'd immediately stop. And one thing we do is try to track those cases to determine where they're coming from and whether there had been spread on the campus. I would say, ultimately, we would cease completely if we saw that this was spreading around the campus and something more than an isolated case was happening.
Man, I applaud him a lot.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Doug Lease. I mean, Adam Silver has been at the forefront of all of this for the most part. And there are two terms I could care if I ever hear again. Eider plan. What's your Eider plan? I learned what that is, the infectious disease emergency response. What's your plan? Every team's got to have the EIDR plan and COVID accountability. COVID accountability. This is going to be inside a locker room. It's going to be inside a clubhouse, a dressing room, whatever it is, Basinonians, where players keep each other accountable, not in terms of how you're going about your business playing the game, but how you're going about your business outside of the game. Period. And when you're talking about Major League Baseball and the National Football League that aren't even trying to attempt a bubble, that is critical right there. And it's the reason why I believe, especially in the game of football, ladies and gentlemen, hyper-aggressive alpha males jammed into a room, you're going to have one of them actually go off on somebody that isn't doing what he should be doing. Because now all of a sudden, I've got a kid at home who's a diabetic, and you're the one that's going to get me in trouble because I'm going to bring it home suddenly to my kid who's got a problem. Or maybe it's asthma as well, right? Think of how many kids out there actually have asthma. And now all of a sudden, you're out partying, and we all know, boy, if you want to look at one, if you want to look at one common denominator as to a massive spread of COVID, it's the club. It really is. When you stop and think about this, they've got some hardcore evidence of people that are partying and what happens inside these rooms where they're drinking and yelling and laughing and dancing and partying and the spread of COVID. It's no wonder why the Miami Marlins blew up.
I can't even remotely imagine. This is something that's not going to get talked about. Can you even fathom how angry the 29 other teams are right now?
Oh, yeah.
Players
Absolutely.
And owners. I mean,
it's no joke.
There are advertisers out there. I mean, just think about this as a fan. There are advertisers out there that are waiting to see how this goes before they spend all the money. And now, boom, it's almost like, see, you can't do it. And the Marlins, and this is why I freaked out when we first found out of how many players look at Atlanta as this great party city when they go on the road there.
Yeah.
And the Marlins are young guys with a two game. There's, you know, like the Diamondbacks had two games in LA. The Dodgers, or excuse me, the Braves hosted the Marlins for their two game summer camp exhibition before the Marlins went on. And that seems to be where they got it. And the commissioner actually announced yesterday that they're opening an investigation, which basically means we're sick of this. I mean, if you think about it, we're smart enough to look at it and say, okay, clearly you guys got it in Atlanta. But that's just intelligent speculation, but it's still speculation. Why else would you investigate unless you want to tell on somebody? I mean, I think baseball wants to make a huge example out of the Marlins for two reasons. To get everybody else of the 29 other teams to shape up, but to also show all their potential advertisers and even Fox Television for the postseason and ESPN, we're going to be okay because it's only the Marlins.
Yeah.
It's only the Marlins. Everybody else is going to be fine. And now this is, I mean, this could blow up in their face all because 10, 15, however many of it was guys decided, I'm going to go out in Atlanta.
In Atlanta. Tattletales in Atlanta, ladies and gentlemen. Just go ahead and Google it.
But really, maybe you shouldn't.
I know nothing about it, ladies and gentlemen. I don't. I know nothing about it, but Motley Crue knows a lot about it.
I never thought we would get words from words of advice from Motley Crue and Ron Wolfley this morning.
I have no idea, ladies and gentlemen, right? Are you kidding me? My young crunk brothers, guard your heart. And the best way to do it is to guard your eyes.
I never thought when we were starting Major League Baseball that the Miami Marlins were going to matter this much.
I know, exactly.
And I should have known. I feel like I should have known. Nothing's going to change how bad I hate the Astros. They're number one. But if the Marlins cost us baseball, I might move them above the Dodgers. I really might. The whole season goes down because of the Marlins. I've never had a reason to even I didn't like the Marlins the first year of them winning a World Series because I felt like it was bought and paid for and they needed the wild card to win it, and then they tore the whole thing down.
Yes.
So I didn't like that aspect.
I'm glad, Doug Lee, that you liked it and didn't like it, and you're giving your opinion right now. But I'm gone. All right. I mean, guard your heart by guarding your eyes. Is there anything better?
You're gone because you're just so proud of your line there? I should have known that.
Exactly right.
I didn't realize why you said that.
What are you saying? Stop talking, Douglas.
I didn't know.
Let that hang in the air.
I didn't know if you meant it from a cowbell standpoint,
no.
That we're almost done with a Thursday show. I should have known it was time to be quiet and let Wolf gloss credit on his words.
My young crunk brothers, guard your heart by guarding your eyes for real. All right, buzz it up, please.
There's no more buzzes.
Oh!
You just noticed. It's been a month since I read a buzz. You just now noticed
just
that.
Just buzz it.
By the way, how about guard your heart by guarding your eyes every day?
No.
Oh! Just now that's a statement.
Do it.
Just coming do up it. Next, Paul's Call represents every day on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
Paul's Call is brought to you by Brooklyn Bedding. For the best sleep ever, go to brooklynbedding.com.
Hey, it's your call, man.
Where are you, UFO? Unidentified flying offense.
Hey, nitwits. It's Paul's Call.
Are we absolutely sure that Florida still deserves to be one of the 50 states?
I just can't take it.
I'm feeling you, Stephen A. Can we sell off Florida like, oh, I don't know, the Suns just sold off their G League team?
See ya!
I mean, just during the pandemic alone, Florida has brought us the push-ups protest.
Here we see the push-ups. This is part of the demonstration outside of the Clearwater Courthouse doing push-ups here.
We've also had the sheriff of Polk County with a Mondo warning to looters.
And if you try to break into their homes to steal, to set fires, I'm highly recommending they blow you back out of the house with their gun.
Now Florida gives us a guy who first made the local news a couple of weeks ago for not wearing a mask and how he...
getting hit with a $100 fine from Miami police for not wearing a mask in public.
I feel silly, you know?
He got a ticket and, you know, he fessed up to being that guy.
Boy, I feel like a horse's patoot.
But because it can always get worse, he's now back in the news for getting...
nearly $4 million he's accused of getting in federal personal paycheck protection loans given out to those whose businesses are hurting by the pandemic.
And what'd he do with the nearly $4 million intended for his business and his employees?
Instead of funding payroll, Hines spent the PPP money on personal expenses at dating websites, luxury jewelry and clothing retailers, and Miami Beach resorts.
He spent it all on himself.
Oh my goodness.
Including...
Hines also allegedly spent PPP funds to buy a 2020 Lamborghini sports car for some $318,000.
No way.
Doug, there's no I in team, but there's a couple of I's in Lamborghini.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in.
And he's even in the media, like, he didn't think anybody would figure this out.
So he's on house arrest right now. Feds are charging him with fraud. And with $1 trillion in stimulus relief funds, hit zoom out. Can you imagine how many scams have been perpetrated so far?
Fishy, fishy.
Well, Paulie PPP is here to enforce the law with the sawed-off shotgun of sports. Sports takes, and now college parties. In Rutgers' direction.
You had this party of athletes that created an outbreak of COVID-19. So definitely a warning, but also one that reinforces the concern of college football coaches around the country.
A recent on-campus party at Rutgers, not good.
Hey, bud, let's party.
As 15 football players have now tested positive, an absolute nightmare for college coaches.
What do they do when they're outside, especially when students get back on campus? That hasn't even happened at Rutgers yet.
So profound.
Yeah. I mean, who threw this party? The Marlins?
I want to party with you, cowboy.
Look, we don't care what Travis Kelce did after winning the Super Bowl.
Because what did we do? We had to fight for our right to party!
To party! Actually, no, it's a pandemic. No parties. And if you do violate the rules, just see what Kevin Sumlin did at U of A, suspending a starting O-lineman, as Coach Sumlin told the Tucson media, quote, if you're not going to pay attention to the protocol, wear a mask, all that other stuff, we can't have you around.
Get out of here. Go home to mom.
And the U of A player confirms on Twitter that U of A took away his stipend.
Yeah,
He stopped receiving his meal plan as soon as the suspension started.
You get nothing.
So U of A says it has had no positive tests the past 2 weeks, and they're going to start in-person, on-campus team activities next week.
Pretty good.
Well, hopefully that's a good sign.
Wow.
By the way, speaking of schools and the rules...
You think you're too cool for school. You aren't.
We have a principal in Alabama, and we know...
Roll Tide.
We know, Doug, what happens when someone just craves the spotlight.
I'm going to freestyle, Basin audience.
Exactly right. You just got to seek the spotlight.
But the principal at Childersburg High School is back at it again. Went viral.
Instead of singing, he is dropping a rap song. Take a listen.
COVID is stressing me. All the updates from the CDC. Lysol can't be found. I've looked all around this town. I've had no luck. And these are the things you can't touch.
He got no cred.
I told you, students,
you can't touch this.
He got no cred, Bo.
I mean, these things happen in threes. Wolf, Florida, and now Alabama.
Makes no sense at all.
Street cred, Bo. I mean, it matters.
Doug, there is more, but just like we're not playing any more Wolf rapping.
Your family won't cut it, bro.
No.
This is the NFL, duh.
Okay. Just.
Oh, that was the one.
No.
That was the one right there,
There
Bo.
Is no
Don't
one.
Don't cheer it on.
There's no one. I mean, just because Pauly Pandemic is brought, just because I'm at Casa Calvici doesn't mean you guys can play more of this rap stuff.
It's the CDC, not me.
You can't touch this.
Hey, don't wash your hands.
You can't touch this.
Fresh new rules and plans. Let's all be safe. Go wash your hands. So move back up 6 feet. You better not cough and you better not sneeze. Sanitation. Hold on, let me check your temp. Not under your arm, like that.
Okay.
Like that. You're all clear. Go to the back. Everybody says that this is too much, and these are the things that you can't touch.
Doug Wolf or that principal in Alabama? Who you got?
And listen, I hate to ever be on Wolf's side because all of it's terrible with Wolf. But whenever you use MC Hammer as your base, you got problems.
Bruh and duh.
Yeah, no, that was awful.
That was so.
There's no brilliance in rhyming so bra good. And duh.
That was so good.
I don't know if we have time for this NBA bubble one where, you know, I don't know. Let's just advance. Big finish.
Now it's time for another edition of...
Happy Gal Dang.
Just when you thought the pandemic saved us from any Star Wars stories...
Space. The final frontier.
Don't get him confused. Star Trek is fake. That was
whatever.
Star Trek, Paul.
We get this story from Down Under.
It's the Star Wars sequel we never saw coming. The tale of a bitter breakup and at the center of their galactic split, a Wookiee named Chewbacca.
Now, this story is not to be confused with that Chewbacca mom story we got a couple years ago. Remember?
Oh,
yeah.
I'm such a happy Chewbacca.
The lady went viral after buying a toy Chewbacca mask and then having this nonstop laugh attack. Yeah, okay. She sounds like a wolf. Now,
goodness.
Back to the lady in Australia, because she's not laughing after her ex got revenge.
A 3-year relationship has turned sour. Jessica dumping her cheating boyfriend. As payback, he's plastered her phone number around town, advertising a Chewbacca roaring competition.
He posted her number as the place to call to let out your inner Chewbacca. Hey, call anytime, call this number, and the best roar wins cash.
Promising a $100 prize for the best one.
So,
well, I'm getting phone calls at really strange hours of the night, about 1 o'clock till 4 o'clock, hey.
Her phone rings at all hours now.
I'll be gall-danged.
Especially when people are getting out of the bars, and she's staying lighthearted about it.
I thought it was quite a funny, actually. I thought it was a good joke.
Okay.
If you want to make a phone call, go for it. I don't mind. Bring it on.
She's not going to win her own contest, as
I'll
you can tell.
I'll be gall-danged.
Police have intervened, by the way, so all the best to her. We still prefer, though, the happy Chewbacca mom lady. You know that lady?
This is worth every penny.
This lady.
Oh.
You know what? During the pandemic, we need this lady. Just. This lady's her own sitcom laugh track. I mean.
I've lost it a couple of times, Paul.
I mean, Wolf, do you drive around like this lady? Okay.
I can't stop. Okay. Oh, my gosh, stop. Okay, that's...
You don't believe us, Paul? All you have to do is say, hey, Wolf, Rugned Odor.
Yeah, right.
No.
No, don't get me going, Douglas.
That's Paul's call.
Thank you, Paul.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo!
Doug and Wolf's. Brought to you by Carol Royce with Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Looking to buy a nice home and can't find one? Go to OurNiceHomes.com. That's OurNiceHomes.com.
My big takeaway from today's show is that 26 owners in the NBA think owning and operating your own G League team is the way to win a championship. And with all the championships Robert Sarver has, he says, no, it's not.
Well, you can't afford a G League team, Doug, when you bought it for $400,000 and the franchise is now worth $2 billion. You can't afford that.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the Dodgers are in town for four. Peace and strength.
Tell me what it's all about!